Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at Matthew's gospel, actually thinking about that journey to the cross. This morning, I want to really focus on the cost of discipleship. And I've actually entitled, "The Reward is Worth the Risk." And so often in our living, sometimes we would actually say we are a Christian. But actually, if you go through the New Testament, there are only three references to the word Christian in the New Testament. But actually, if you look at the word discipleship or disciples, there are over 300 references what it actually means to be a follower of Jesus. And what I want to do is really just pick up primarily from verses 24 to 26. And I'll just read it. "If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses it, his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" I think tremendous words. And Jesus is actually encouraging us to take the risk of giving up the right to define our lives. He also says there is a great reward in doing so. And that reward is the way that God has intended our life should be. See, for Jesus begins to show the disciples the necessity of his suffering and death. And it says from verse 21, from that time, the time of Peter's confession of him as the Christ, as the rescuer, as the Messiah, as the deliverer. From that time on, once the disciples were aware that Jesus was the Christ, it was necessary to correct their misconceptions. And he speaks about the Father's will for his life. And as we live our lives out as God's people, and whatever we face on a daily basis, we need to be followers, learners of our Lord Jesus, to come to recognize his authority, his lordship. And it's a very challenging passage, but it speaks about laying our lives down. It speaks about that attitude of sacrifice and obedience. So let us look at the passage. Firstly, I've just picked up two simple points, really. Firstly, the realization that he requires. And we see this in verse 24. And in that verse, we have three demands for discipleship. Let's pick up verse 24. And it says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is totally free. But sometimes we forget the demand of actually following Jesus. It demands our life and our all. And I want you to notice in verse 24, it says, if anyone come after me. Then it goes on later in the verse, and it speaks about and to follow me. And Jesus reminds those he has called that there is a price in following the Lord Jesus. Come after me and follow me are synonymous. Both terms are used in the gospel of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus, of being a follower. Maybe if I can just illustrate it. And there is a story told about the American evangelist D.L. Moody. Moody was due to preach at a church one evening. And as he was approaching the church, he just came across a little boy alone by the side of the church. This boy had come to hear Moody, but the usher at the door stopped the boy coming in because he had dirty clothes and told him he should be in bed. The little boy was downcast and disappointed that he wasn't allowed to come into the building. And D.L. Moody asked him if he wanted to listen to the preacher. And the boy said yes. And Moody said, just follow me and just hold on to my coattails. So the boy followed Moody. They walked right through the church, right onto the platform. And there was a seat reserved for D.L. Moody. And he said to the boy, you sit here. And Moody put him on that chair reserved for himself. And that evening, Moody listened to the great preacher. The pastor who told the story said, I know it's a true story for what happened in this church. I was that little boy and I heard D.L. Moody. I clung to his coattails. I never dreamt someday I would become a minister of the same church. He followed D.L. Moody. And the challenge for us as we live our lives out, how much more should we follow the Lord Jesus? And maybe this morning you come with a joyful heart. Or maybe you come with a heavy heart. We need to follow Jesus, to invite Jesus into that situation, to make that difference, to bring that change. See, what Jesus is saying to his disciples, firstly, it's necessary to deny oneself and to take up the cross. And this is the startling honesty of Jesus. He never tries to offer us an easy life. Notice he doesn't say, let him hate himself. Denying yourself means that you decide to exchange your will for God's will. And it's interesting to note that the word that was used of Peter's denial of our Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 14 is the same word that we actually find here. This is the same word that Matthew actually chooses to use. And it tells us, if we are going to come after him, we must deny ourselves. And this was clearly demonstrated in the life of our Lord Jesus. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39? When Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, yet not as I will, but as you will. And Jesus tells his disciples to follow this way, the way he has chosen. It's a way of service. See, the word deny, which means to utterly disown, to forget oneself, to lose sight of oneself and one's interests. And the self to which Jesus refers is not the person, but personal goals. What does it mean for a disciple to deny himself? In the earlier verses, Peter just asserted the right to define life. And Peter's definition of life involved victory over Rome. He rebuked Jesus. And what Jesus is challenging Peter and any would-be disciple. Denying self means that we give up the right to run our lives. It means that we recognize our Lord Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It means we recognize him who has all authority and majesty. And it goes on to say, the second demand really, let him deny himself and take up their cross, or take up our cross. See, the simple fact is, what our Lord Jesus asks us to face, he has already faced. We glorify in the risen Lord Jesus. And that's what every Sunday is. But we should never forget our Lord Jesus was also the suffering servant. And it's the same Lord that enters into our experience. For some it might be the heartache of pain, anguish. It might be a deep loss. But Jesus understands. Jesus knows. And Jesus reaches out with his love and his grace. See, our Lord Jesus has the right to call on us to take up our cross for himself. For he bore it for us. And what does it mean to take up our cross? See, for the disciples, the cross was off the horizon of their minds. And when many people talk about the cross or my cross, they sometimes mean the difficulties or the handicaps they face. See, cross-bearing is not an accident that happens to us or something unavoidable we must face. Cross-bearing is that act of love that we freely choose. Our task is to follow our Lord Jesus, to lay our lives before him. For our Lord Jesus, it meant going to the cross to die, because he loves us so much. He could do nothing else. It means reaching out to people who are unlovable, who may never return our love. So the cross for Jesus stood for something in his life connected with shame and humiliation. And so the cross stands forever a symbol of those circumstances and events in our experience which humble us and expose us and shame us. Any circumstance, any incident which does this is to be welcome. When James Calvert, who was a missionary to the Fiji Islands, the captain of the ship that he travelled on to Fiji, tried to make him turn back, he said this: "You will lose your life and the lives of those with you who go with you." Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." Taking up our cross means that we lay our lives down before our Lord Jesus. See, true discipleship is to be a one-way road. Jesus says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow, looks back, is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." Luke 9, verse 62. And the third demand of discipleship is to follow the Lord Jesus. This means to obey him. It involves following him. Peter earlier had rebuked Jesus, and what Jesus actually said: "Get behind me, Satan." Rather than allowing the Lord Jesus to direct the pace, Peter, in his thinking, in his understanding of the Messiah, of the rescuer, of the deliverer, could not comprehend that Jesus would go to Jerusalem to be the suffering servant. And Jesus really challenges Peter. And for Peter, it means giving up the right to define life and giving that right to Jesus. And for us, as we live our lives out, it means aligning ourselves with him and his cause and following him wherever he leads you. And this implies trust. And sometimes it's so hard and so difficult. In life itself, we can get hurt and damaged by various experiences. But it means inviting Jesus into those situations and bringing healing and restoration and forgiveness. To follow Christ means to follow wherever he leads. It means the followers of Jesus lays their life before him. The Christian life is following Jesus, doing what he says, like love your enemy, pray for those that hurt you, and when you don't feel like obeying or forgiving or praying, he tells us to do it anyway. Follow me means obeying the commands of Scripture. But it's interesting to note the the tenses. It's the present tense. And what Jesus is actually saying, keep on denying yourself. Keep on taking up the cross. Keep on following me. And this is not a decision of the moment, but a program for a lifetime to be repeated again and again and again. We fall into circumstances which make the choice necessary. If I can just sort of illustrate it, you know, personally, it's actually interesting. I trained at Spurgeon's College and I left 1992, but my batch that went into Spurgeon's College was 1989. And for all, you know, it was about 30 of us that actually trained, you know, for the ministry, college-based students. After, what, 27, 28 years? It would be fortunate to have 12 left. And to me, the fact is, wherever we are as a Christian, it's a day-by-day experience. We cannot live off yesterday. It needs to be today, the reality of Jesus. And, you know, to actually be a follower of Jesus, many of us will face difficult times and might be heartache, but we need to invite Jesus into those situations. He is the one who heals, his presence, his grace. He is the one that truly understands. Secondly, and more briefly, the revolution that needs to occur. And if you've got a Bible, please look with me at verses 25 to verse 26. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? I find those words very challenging. See, Jesus sums up this series of instructions by saying in verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me will find it. Just let me illustrate it. Drifting snow and bitter cold threaten the lives of an Indian evangelist and his companion. And as they cross the Himalayan pass, fighting the sleep of death, as they began to freeze, they stumbled over a mole in the trail. It was a man half dead from freezing too. The Tibetan evangelist, the Tibetan, refused to stop, but continued on alone. But the compassionate evangelist could not leave that man to die. Instead, he bowed. It was a constant struggle carrying the man through the snowy pass. However, the more he struggled, the warmer he became. And his warmth passed through to the nearby dead man, helping to revive him as well. Before they finally reached the village, they found on the path the companion who went with them, but who had gone ahead of them alone. was now dead in the snow. See, this companion has sought to save his own life, and he had now lost it, while the evangelist was willing to lose his life, found it, and saved another man. See, the principle is simply this, is that as we give our lives to Jesus Christ, he gives us life to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, "We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body." The phrase had been coined, "The secret of a changed life is discovering an exchanged life. The secret of a changed life is discovering an exchanged life." See, the Christian life is something more profound than Jesus Christ changing us. It's Jesus Christ replacing us with himself, that Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 20. "So that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." We can never know the fullness of the life of our Lord Jesus without the correspondent loss of our own lives to him. See, discipleship is a matter of profit and loss. A question whether we will waste our lives or invest our lives. Note the severe warning that Jesus gives here in verse 26. That you forfeit your soul once you have spent our lives. We cannot buy it back. Remembering, he is instructing his disciples, men who had already confessed him as Christ, the Son of the living God, the rescuer, the deliverer. And what he's actually saying, he's telling them the way they save their lives is to make their life count, to make that difference. And the challenge for us as God's disciples, we need to make our life count for the Lord Jesus, to give up our life for him, to make our life count. See, the fact losing your soul is equivalent of wasting your life, missing the great opportunities the Lord gives each one of us. And what Jesus is saying, God gives us that opportunity to make our life count. And what it means to be a follower, not to live in the past, but to live in the present. To know that we serve a great and mighty Saviour who wants to do more than we can think. A God that can change and transform any situation. Amen.